just started. So, I am Jarvis Davis. I'm a principal consultant with CDW.
I'm Phil Pritchett, a senior consultant with CDW.
And what you see on the screen is the current title of the session. However, that was not the original title that we came up with.
So what were the original titles, Jarvis?
The original title we came up with was System Center, I'm All In.
Nah, copyright.
Except that we found out that's copyright World Series of Poker, so we got rejected. So
what's the other one?
Second title that we came up with was System Center, I Drank All the Kool-Aid.
Guess what?
Copyright again.
Yeah.
So what you have on the screen now is the working, fantastically exciting title that is mundane and boring but functional. So, first off, by way of agenda, let's talk about kind of what this session is and what this session is not. Let's make sure we have proper expectations. What the session is, it is a why and what happened session. It is talking about business value. The very end of the session, we will have multiple slides on lessons learned. At the heart of this session are two case studies. We chose a couple of clients that we had done multiple System Center products at, and there'll be good examples that are contrasting examples of companies that had done multiple System Center products. This is a high-level overview of the deployment of multiple products at a single client. But it is an overview. It is high level. Realistically, if we're covering multiple System Center products, how in-depth do you think we're really going to be able to get an hour and 15 minutes? Let's just kind of set that expectation. We will talk about both the good and the bad, how System Center met or potentially did not meet some business needs at those clients. What the session is not, it's not a how-to session. This is a business value. It's a why would you consider doing this session? It's not an in-depth technical session. So if that's really what you're looking for, you know, maybe you want to go find another session. It's not specific guidance for every situation. Realistically, we're covering a lot of product, and what happened at these two case study example clients. We will not have any live demos. If that's a problem for you, I'm telling you now, we have no live demos. We have a PowerPoint only. PowerPoint and entertainment. So if that's a problem, if we could get past the no live demo thing, that'd be fantastic. And it's not an in-depth technical presentation. So if that is not what you're looking for, right now is your opportunity to go find another session that better meets your needs. So you'll be happier and, you know, I won't get bad evals at the end. So, at the heart, let's kind of take a quick look at just a product overview of what kind of the five products we're going to deal with are. Config Manager, I'm assuming most of you have a very good handle of what Config Manager is. In a nutshell, I call it the box to dumpster. From brand new box to dumpster at the end of a computer lifecycle, it's what you use for managing everything between those two events, whether it be inventory or apps or updates or OSD or settings management or blah, blah, blah. It's your way of managing everything between the box and the dumpster. Ops Manager, you need to monitor things. You want to make sure you have actual uptime in your environment. Ops Manager is your product for that. Mr. Pritchett.
Service Manager, those of you that have worked any kind of a service desk environment know that you have to have some way of tracking incidents, problems, service request fulfillment, change management. With some management packs, we can manage inventory from lease inception to lease expiration, hardware life cycle, and tie that in with Configuration Manager for some workflows in software requests and things like that. Hyper-V, Virtual Machine Manager. This is the pavement for the road. This is, as Brad said yesterday, better together. It definitely does help in performance of the environment when you're implementing System Center and Orchestrator, the one ring to rule them all. So this is what we can do programmatically through different triggers to automate our environment in a lot of ways.
And one caveat about Orchestrator, we were very intentional about the two case study clients that we chose for this. of wanting to have examples to talk about today that were very much contrasting in how the implementation went, in what order, and in what kind of value they saw from it. The trick is the two best case study clients we had, neither had actually done Orchestrator by the time this starts, by the time we got to the session. So we won't really cover Orchestrator very much in depth at all. One of them, actually, their Orchestrator project is going to kick off here in a couple of weeks. But just one caveat about that. If you're expecting Orchestrator, we are expecting covered in this session, but once we got down to picking who our two case study clients were, we realized that that was not really going to be able to happen. So let's jump into our, first of all, a foundational principle. For some of you larger organizations, you understand the concept of designing and planning before you implement. Because if you don't, the project just dies. On my flight down here on Sunday, I was sitting next to a guy at a large health organization that you would recognize the name of, 130,000 clients. And I mentioned design and plan to him, and it was just like, well, of course, you have to design and plan, right? Because at 130,000 clients, if you don't, you're completely hosed. For a lot of you smaller companies, it's kind of more fly by the seat of your pants sometimes. Let's just kind of implement it and see how it goes, and maybe we'll rebuild from scratch and whatnot. But realistically, if you don't design and plan it the first time, you're going to have a lot more pain and heartache and a lot more likely to have a less successful long-term implementation. And so, you know, kind of what we put up there, design and plan first, every time. And I know some of you are thinking, we don't really have to do that because we're too small. I'm an exception. No, you're not. You are not an exception. You need to design and plan it before you actually go and pull out the ISO to install from. So part of what that planning and designing looks like is, first of all, look at your business needs and requirements. You know, what am I hoping to accomplish from this project? Not just when I'm doing all of System Center, but I'm doing just Config Manager, just Ops Manager, just Orchestrator. What do I hope to accomplish from that? What are the business needs that I'm trying to address? What are my business requirements? You need to document that first. Because if you don't document that first, that's kind of your roadmap. That's where you're wanting to go. This is where I'm starting. This is where I'm going to end up. That's my vision for where I want to get to. If I don't have that vision, I can end up anywhere. And then along with that, I need to have a very healthy assessment of where am I currently. This is where I want to get to, my business needs and requirements. Where am I starting from? And that starting from, the gap between where I'm starting from and where I'm going to will help you with, you know, defining that roadmap of how I want to implement, what pieces I want to put in place, what order I put them in place, and how I want to do that. So your technical requirements come from an evaluation of the first two bullet points. All right? Solid? Let's look at our first company. They are a manufacturing organization. Multinational company, automotive industry, headquartered in the upper Midwest in the U.S. They've been around for about 30 years. Their IT organization came about 20 years ago, really out of necessity. They were getting these computer things in that they needed to do something with, had to manage them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And so their IT organization came out kind of as a result of that. By and large, neither their systems or their processes were documented. Nothing. Systems, you know, what's that computer server do? I don't know. You know, unless you were the one who owned it, you had no idea what it did. Process documentation? Not a chance. You know, they had no idea. So if you had to do this one thing and you had four or five different people that could potentially do it, it could be done four or five potential ways. So no documented processes, no documented systems. They had never had an IT service management system. So nothing for change management, nothing for ticket management, nothing of that nature. No formalized IT management processes. Nothing. Changes? Yeah, just go ahead and do it. Shouldn't affect too much, should it? Don't know. No standardization. Very disorganized, very decentralized. They were a large organization, 5,000 desktops throughout the organization, but very decentralized, very labor intensive. For us coming in to do a System Center project, though, because there was nothing there, it was a greenfield scenario. There's good and bad to that.
So, Jervis, if you had to describe their environment in a single statement, how would you put it?
Well, a picture's worth a thousand words. They were simply in over their heads. That's my son. He's 4. That was the second time that week he had been in the water softener. So they were definitely in over their heads. They needed help. You know, they did not have any standardization at all. So this is you, isn't it?
So many of the first meetings that we had here at this company was, what do you guys want to do? What do you want to get out of service manager? Well, service manager, ops manager, config manager, is orchestrator on the roadmap, those kind of things. So we had to put some kind of structure around IT. That was their main goal. After being around 20 plus or minus years, out of sheer necessity, being a necessary evil, they had to put some kind of structure to IT. The help desk had, in fact, been managing incident tickets and change requests to the tune of 3,000 requests a month out of an Outlook inbox. I don't think that's sustainable for very long. In fact, the stress level for the individual managing that Outlook inbox, we had some parking lot conversations before and after lunch, and one day she began to cry. She was working 60 to 90 hours a week to manage those requests because everybody else on her team was telling her, not my job.
3,000 a month.
A month.
And she had to do break fix on top of that.
Correct.
Yeah, good luck with that.
She was working 14-hour workdays.
Every day, 14 hours a day.
6 days a week. Change management. How they handled it is, if the server is experiencing performance issues, it's slow, loss of volume, just reboot it. It's okay. None of the other applications will break. If the server no longer was needed, well, by me, you know, I was designated the owner of it when we built it. I don't care if anybody else has ever installed anything else on it that it depends on. I'll just turn it off and not worry about them. I'll even delete the VM. They were using Ghost for drive imaging. 3 HALs available for Windows XP, all 3 in use, 14 images total. Wow. What they wanted to get further was documentation and standardization of processes. This means intake of incidents, intake of problems, reporting of problems, resolution, resolution categories. Is it hardware? Is it software? What team does it go to? Do we need to realign staff? And where do we go from here? The next part of that, before we could even start management of these processes, while they were being mapped out, we had to begin or give guidance to IT management to be able to go to the business and say, if this happens, if you don't have this application, how critical is it, really? Are we stopping business from running? Can we still run? What time frame are we looking at that this has to be fixed for you to be acceptable? We had to come up with metrics or ways to measure performance of the IT department so that we know, do we need to shift people? Do we need to add people? Do we need to move resources? Do we need more technology?
So, order of implementation. It's you, right?
I think that's me. So, as we were progressing through the project, we started with Configuration Manager first. 14 images is just too many. We needed to reduce that to 1, especially looking at an XP to Windows 7 migration, knowing that XP support was going away. One of the large keys of that was reporting software deployment, update deployment, operating system deployment, getting the reporting on who's been successfully deployed, compliance reporting for software updates. Previously, they were doing 0 updates. When we got on site, they were 2 years out of compliance with XP updates. Ops manager.
Wait, make sure that got heard. Their settings were wrong on their threat management gateway. They had not been patching XP for 2 years. 2 years out of date on XP patches. Oh yeah, that helps.
No issues. Maybe a few. Ops manager, system health. That way we can track performance of the systems. If it falls below a threshold, somebody needs to know about this. Outage alerting. Our system admins, they don't need a server and they turn it off. Do we need to know about that before the users? Probably. Service manager, how do we manage it all? How do we track it? How do we measure it? Where does all that come from? One of the things that I do want to note here, as it says in the last item here, is none of these systems at this organization were seen as critical systems. If they went away tomorrow, they just go back to the old way of doing things.
Managing out an Outlook inbox, not really knowing if anything was wrong.
Crying in the parking lot.
Crying in the parking lot. So none of these three that we were putting in place were seen as critical. That's entertaining. So, again, they were in over their heads. You know, they definitely needed a lot of help. So, with that said, let's talk about kind of the highlights and project notes from the Config Manager deployment. So, what they wanted to do with Config Manager was essentially a soup to nuts of Config Manager. Unless you're looking at device management or settings management or internet-based clients, they wanted to essentially do everything else. You know, app deployment, updates, OSD, reporting, endpoint protection. They wanted to do everything else Config Manager could do, except for just a couple of things that, quite honestly, not as many people are doing. So they had a pretty broad spectrum of what they wanted to accomplish with Config Manager. Prior to Config Manager, most of their application installs had been manual. Understand, they'd had nothing before. Therefore, how do I install it? Take the USB stick, run it, double-click, walk through the wizard manually. For 5,000 systems.
Sneakers, car keys.
In a highly distributed worldwide organization, the way they installed applications was manual. Yeah, that helps. And so they wanted to go from that to an automatic install, to be able to package these applications where you could silently install, which they had never done before. App catalog, they wanted to put the app catalog in place so that a user could go to a website and say, hey, I want that application, and have it automatically install, the approval process, all that kind of stuff. App catalog was one thing they were looking forward to. The software update point with automatic deployment rules, understand, XP, 2 years out of date. Well, they wanted to actually get updates working again, to actually be functional. And so they were pretty excited about actually having the possibility of automatic deployment rules working. This was a fairly early deployment for this organization. So this was, I think it actually kicked off like the week after MMS last year. Was when this project kicked off. So it was with the RTM of Config Manager 2012, Server 2008 R2, SQL 2008 R2. So it was a very early deployment was when this one kicked off. Do you have something to add?
No.
No. Operations Manager was the next one. Key thing they wanted there was alert notification for critical events, infrastructure events. So if something went wrong, they wanted to be alerted to this. They wanted to know that something had happened. Instead of, hey, the server's down, that phone call coming from a user, I can't get into such and such.
They were coming in every Monday morning to something being down.
Every Monday morning?
Every Monday morning. And going through Event Viewer, found out that it went down Friday at around 7 p.m.
That helps.
Usually when the admin logged out.
Actually, this is your slide, isn't it?
I don't care. You can okay. Talk. I'm good. I'll just be for looking at.
Hey, you're the pretty one, right? Okay, so they wanted the creation of incident tickets in Service Manager. So when a critical event happened, this is your slide.
Yep. So when critical events or certain warning events happen, we need to have incident tickets created. So through the alert connector and the CI connector to Service Manager, we were able to generate those incident tickets for management. If it is, you know, if it was determined that it was because of a different root cause is why that alert fired, then maybe we generate a problem ticket and manage it that way, close the originating incident. We're going to use this as the starting point for the formalization of IT infrastructure change management. That way, if they're getting a lot of incidents, so if we're going through trending and seeing a lot of incidents generated from a particular area within the infrastructure, it would enable them to decide, do we need to add server capacity over there? Do we need to replace the servers? Or, wow, those servers are actually stone tablets and we need to replace them? Things like that. the infrastructure implemented here, again, being an early implementation, it was SQL 2008 R2 with SP1, cumulative update 6. I don't know why we didn't do that. They were all on named instances of Enterprise SQL. 2008 R2 standard, single management group with a single management server and DB server. Again, not being a critical system, there was only one management server utilized here.
So no failover?
Correct.
Fantastic. Yeah, this is kind of an indication of what we, you know, what this client was dealing with was none of these things were seen as critical. So, and that's the infrastructure they wanted to put in place was, you know, it's not critical, so we're not going to put a second management server in place.
Continuing on with Service Manager, discovering and documenting IT processes around incident and change management were the two large or most important areas for them. The biggest pain right now was the incident management, as I referred to the crying in the parking lot and several staff members wondering, why am I still here? Solution implementation, we created some custom email templates for them. Notification management packs, there were a few out there posted by some of the, on the different blog sites. Anders had one on his that we used. I forget who did the assigned to notification. I probably should have written that down. Email integration using the RC version of the Exchange Connector 3 to allow interaction between users, analysts, different team members when they're responding or adding notes to or resolving or closing any of those work items within Service Manager. Again, the Exchange Connector, Active Directory Connector, Configuration Manager Connector, and the two SCOM connectors, so the CI and the Alert Connector, were used. After we were done implementing, we turned our focus to training. Having had zero exposure to a service management platform, many of their staff didn't know what to do. They knew what an incident was. They knew what a problem was, especially after hours and hours of talking and falling asleep in the meeting room with me. I had to show them how to manage it all. Where does it go? What does it do? How long does it stay live in the database? Where does it go after that? What's it look like from the data warehouse? I can't think this morning, not enough coffee. So again, training. Not just for analysts, we had to teach users, our super users in the environment, and managers of the business groups, how to use the portal, where to click to get what they want.
Okay, so successes and challenges. We're fairly well balanced with this client. After this stuff was put in place, team morale was dramatically higher. When you've got someone crying in the parking lot, you can pretty much say team morale is at rock bottom. You're at rock bottom and you started to dig. Okay, you know, that was about where team morale was prior to this project. Afterwards, they were actually pretty happy. You know, there's a lot of, you know, team morale was much, much better. They did have standard application deployment. Instead of the, you know, USB stick, sneaker, and a CD method, they did have packaged applications that they could deploy throughout their enterprise. They had a somewhat standardized management methodology. They actually did make at least some degree of progress on that. And to a great degree, they realized, you know, much better automation throughout their environment.
Specifically around Configuration Manager, I think.
Yeah. Mainly Config Manager, they had a lot of benefit there.
So the next point being automation and enablement of enabling help desk staff to get their lives back. One of the main reasons why this young woman was crying in the parking lot with more gray hair than my 80-year-old grandfather, and she was only 25, was request to install software. So with the automation through the application, through Configuration Manager, through the application website, the software center, things like that, she no longer had to remote into people's machines, install the software, reboot, and if that failed, get in the car, drive across town, drive to a different state. Yes, drive to a different state just to fix it. When something went wrong with Operations Manager, they knew. They knew it went down before the users did. If it went down Friday night, somebody fixed it Friday night, remoted in, fixed it. The balance of the workload. So as work items are coming in from the environment, they're better able to decide which team does this go to, which functional area within the IT organization do we send this to, rather than people being able to get away with it and say, oh, not my job, and then go play golf. Challenges, adherence to the process, resistance to change. Not having any previous SLAs identified, 6 months post-project, they're still negotiating with the business because the business has no idea what they're talking about or why they're even being asked these questions. Just make it work, guys. That's all we ask. The need to retrain staff because of staff turnover. People who aren't adhering to the processes, they're either leaving through attrition or through request or pink slip, whatever you want to call it. And because of having to train, it becomes stressful. It's hard to establish the expectations and some of the standardization, because with so many new people coming in, that's one of the main challenges for them today, is because they're having to constantly retrain people.
And for this organization, you know, for an IT organization that's been around for 20 years, managing 5,000 systems, their knowledge level was shockingly low. It was kind of shocking how little knowledge they had in their environment. I'm not trying to rag on the client too much, but it really was kind of shockingly low how little knowledge they had of the ability to manage at an enterprise level. A lesson that I was taught many years ago was anything times 1,000 is big. It only takes me 30 seconds. All right, now do it 1,000 times. Great, that's my next 2 weeks. Okay, if I can automate that, I can manage that a lot better. And so that was one thing that they were very, very light on. Even after the whole process of the new management methodologies, the ability to do it automated, the service management process that Phil took them through, a lot of their old methodologies were still very, very strongly defended. Now, with that said, Phil did mention the staff turnover and attrition. It's my understanding that some of those that were very strongly defending the old methodologies are no longer with the company. So either they chose to leave or they were chosen to leave. I do not know which.
No more registry cowboys.
No more registry cowboys. Hey, it ain't working. Let's just kind of, you know, nuke that part of the registry. Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. Thanks. There was significant fear in this organization. That was one of the big challenges they had, was they were afraid of losing their jobs if we put in a system that had automation. They were culturally afraid of change. Matter of fact, Phil's project, this is an awesome story that I'm going to ask him to share. Last week of the project, you are wrapping up the project. You go to lunch.
Come back from lunch. My account had been deleted from the directory. I could no longer log in, verify the settings, verify configurations within the workflows. I couldn't do anything. And so when I walked over to the account manager folks, I asked, did you already lock out the account? Are we done? So they searched for it. It's not there. So they go through the logs, ops manager, and they found out that it was deleted 5 minutes after I walked out of the room. And who did it? They got a strong talking to by the director. The account was recreated and re-enabled. Somebody gave me the permissions I needed back in the system, and I was able to complete the project. That's how afraid they were. Afraid enough that what they were or were not doing would be uncovered, and that's not why we do this.
They were trying to torpedo the project. I've heard of people joking about having to sabotage the project. They did. they actually deleted the freaking account.
We implement these things to help measure what we're doing and how we do these things so that our managers and directors know, hey, we need to get Jarvis some help. He's working a little too many hours. He's got too many things to manage. Maybe we need to add some headcount. Or, well, that skill set really belongs over here on this team, and then they can realign it.
Right. And actually, that is what happened at this, and we're going to get to that when we get to the lessons learned about, you know, they actually did not lose headcount. They actually gained headcount as a result of this. So they were afraid of losing their jobs when really what this helped them to do is actually gain help because they were able to document, hey, Susie is working, you know, is managing 3,000 incidents a month out of an Outlook inbox. Realistically, that is an unsustainable utilization rate. You know, you cannot keep that going and actually expect to have a life. So, from a summary, successes and challenges were fairly well balanced at this client. One key aspect is be prepared to get involved with how the business runs. A lot of times we in IT, we just kind of manage the IT stuff. We don't really focus on, you know, what's the business doing? You know, how does the business operate? This was one where you really have to, especially when you get into the service management aspect, you have to focus on what does the business need to operate? What are the business needs, business requirements, and let that get in. Let's not let fear win. Yes, they were afraid of change, but battle that. You know, get past the fear and realize you actually can continue to improve as a result. So one of the other, you know, kind of keys there was they had a big savings in both money and time once it was properly implemented. Did it take a little bit of money and time to get it in place? Yes, of course it did. But long-term, dramatic savings in both cash and time for their IT staff. One other aspect is old processes are not necessarily good processes. If you automate a bad process, it just helps you do bad stuff faster. If it's a bad process, junk it. Figure out what the right thing to do is, and then automate that. Get your stuff done right the first time. And then lastly, let's embrace change. You know, if there's change that needs to happen, embrace that. Don't be afraid of it. You know, don't get caught up in the stuff we've been doing. We've always done it this way. I don't like change. I understand you don't like change.
Does that mean to rename yourself to change because you need a hug?
I do not want a hug.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Thanks for the offer.
Okay.
You never know what you're going to get out of Bill. So next, let's take a look at the other organization. So first was manufacturing. Now let's take a look at an education client. They were a very large school district out of the western U.S., 55-plus schools, over 11,000 devices, 30,000-plus users. Their IT background, very, very different. They were highly centralized. They had a mirrored data center. So as opposed to the situation where the other client was, nothing is critical, this one is critical enough, we're going to mirror the whole data center. As a matter of fact, when Phil was installing Config Manager, he was in the middle of the install, they failed over to the backup data center. During the installation, it hicked up for a second and picked up where it left off and successfully completed the installation. In the middle of the installation. Fantastic. They had multiple redundant WAN connections to each data center. They have, understand, 10 gig fiber.
Not a typo.
That they own to all 55 schools. Yes, their WAN is faster than your LAN. Yo, they have cash. They are a very well-funded education client.
I wonder what their property taxes are like.
So they a lot of their IT processes were previously documented, very, very different from our other client. A lot of very well-documented processes. They had service level agreements. They were well-established, tied to SLOs. This was a displacement / replacement scenario. So they were replacing Config Manager 2007 with 2012. They were replacing a service management product called Heat with Service Manager 2012. This one, by the way, is still in process. So it is. This is the one that is not totally complete. I think those two aspects are. Other aspects are not. So
I'll actually finish the last one probably next week.
Okay. So he's actually finishing Service Manager next week. So project drivers requirements and vision, Mr. Pritchett.
Well, is anybody here taking any marketing classes in college? Any web marketers? Anything with web marketing background, you can raise your hands or not. If we have to click more than three times, are you going to continue with that solution or looking for something on that page? Probably not. So that was the number one thing. Simplification for end users to get what they need. With the portal implemented here at this customer, we're able to get them to where they need to go within three clicks. Some of the portal we had to edit or modify web parts, rearrange some things, add some links, things like that. We had to reduce service management cost. The service manager solution, as far as licensing and how they were licensed, was far cheaper than Heat was. Heat is a good product, but as far as cost, extensibility, customization, things like that, I feel that for their situation, Service Manager was the best. Formalization of change management. They had some change management process defined. We wanted to formalize that and put knowledge base articles together for specific changes or standardized changes, a schedule and an approval process together for emergency changes, performance and measurability for service request fulfillment. How long does it take us to get somebody this software? Should we automate the distribution of this software? Does it have to go through an approval process? How long should that approval process take before it gets escalated to the next level? With 30,000 users, you don't have a lot of time. Everybody wants things yesterday. It doesn't matter where they are, who they are, or what they're doing. Depending on their job level, it may be yesterday that they need something. They need to be able to more easily manage the database. Previously, the knowledge base. Previously, none of the articles were indexed with a KB number that they could quickly reference. None of the keywords other than the title were stored for searching. With Service Manager, we can search keywords within the article. That's pretty much it for that.
Okay. Actually, page two.
Oh, all right.
They had a lot they wanted to accomplish.
So overall health monitoring. So moving from a previous virtual machine solution, virtual infrastructure, to Hyper-V, we need to know if any of these machines are becoming unavailable as we move them. That was huge for them. Email alerting and incident creation for outages. Many of our customers are asking for that email functionality. These guys aren't any different. Automated provisioning of virtual machines. Once they have their virtual infrastructure fully baked, they're looking at moving to a VDI solution, and they need to be able to do on-demand provisioning of these virtual desktops. Some level of break fix automation. If a service is determined to have stopped, restart the service. If the service doesn't restart, reboot the server, make sure the server comes back up, verify the service. If that doesn't happen, tell somebody. Continue the features from Configuration Manager with operating system deployment, software deployment, update deployment into 2012. Utilize the automated software update deployment features that have been that were added with Config Manager 2012. Okay. No page three?
No page three.
Okay.
That was all they
you
wanted
sure?
to accomplish. Those two pages were the project requirements.
Give us 10 minutes, we'll add a page three.
They had a lot. Go for it.
Don't hit me.
I'm ready to hit you.
Okay. So order of implementation. As a lot of you know, order of implementation can make or break a project, but if the customer or the department that we're working for wants something in a specific order, we're just the engineers. We're going to try to do it the best we can. We'll disagree and commit whatever we've got to do. They started with Hyper-V 2012, to replace previous solution due to license cost. Virtual machine manager also already present, put in place because of licensing cost with the previous solution, or what they call it yesterday, the other guys. Config manager after that, we knew it was going to be fast. We figured it was a quick hit. We'd just get it taken care of, verify the functionality, configure some of the features, and then turn their admins loose. So we did. We upgraded endpoint protection to 2010, and the old hardware was end of life, being the other reason. So once that's done, we started with service manager. Their license agreement for Heat, I believe, is ending next month. So there's a little bit of a rush there to get them off of that product. Ops manager, replacing the previous solution or augmenting. So they had SolarWinds and a couple other homegrown products. Have any of you heard of Big Brother? They wanted to go standardized with System Center. They looked at Ops Manager, felt that it was a fit, and that's why we went with that. And Orchestrator is on near-term roadmap. In fact, as Jarvis said, either the end of next week or the beginning of the following, we will be installing that.
Yep. Okay, so highlights and notes for Config Manager. This was a later term, so this was after Service Pack 1 for Config Manager was released. So in contrast to the manufacturing client, this was a more recent deal. So they were doing Config Manager 2012, Service Pack 1, and then Server 2012 and SQL 2012. They wanted to migrate their packages from 2007 to 2012. The task sequences that were already in 2007, they had to rebuild them, rebuild the operating system image, because it had some things in it that were kind of specific to their previous environment. And then they needed to import the drivers, because in 2007, their driver management they had done using the Johann method, which is point to a folder structure that already had all the drivers in it and have the package created that way. And so they had to actually import the drivers this time and recreate the driver packages to make that work. And then their goal was to migrate multiple schools per week from 2007 to 2012. Matter of fact, it was 5 schools per week that they were migrating to 2012. So this was a very, very fast process. They were very aggressive in their migration plan.
Incidentally, the issues in migrating the schools had to do with access control lists from the client to the or from the server to the clients. Once they got those access control lists configured on the network hardware, everything was fine.
Next thing we did was Service Manager.
Me?
That is you.
Oh, okay. So we took a look at their current processes. We put together a framework, quick outline, and decided which parts of the granularity we wanted to keep, what we needed to change, where we needed to make the improvements. ITIL, MOF, things like that. Review the processes and refine. Implemented a full infrastructure, 4 servers plus a portal. All the servers are on 2012 standard, with the exception of SharePoint. Right now, SharePoint 2013 isn't supported. The web parts also cannot be installed on server 2012. So 2008 R2, SharePoint 2010, Service Pack 1 with the February 2013 update is what we used for the portal. We have a single management server, a single data warehouse management server, a management database server, and a data warehouse database server. All on separate hosts, on separate storage arrays.
They were highly redundant. They had a lot of performance concerns, and they threw hardware at it to make sure that they did not have any performance issues.
I did want to bring up data retention settings. So many of you who have installed Service Manager, when you're looking at data retention settings, you'll see 90, 365, 365, 365, 365. These guys wanted to be able to look at 6 years of tickets, not history from the data warehouse, tickets.
So the default is 90 days. They wanted 6 years.
Also, the 90 days is the recommendation from Microsoft for best practice.
If you've got the horsepower, 90 days, they wanted 6 years.
If you've got the horsepower, the longest that we were recommended was 3.5
years.
Years.
They wanted 2.5 years beyond the maximum recommendation that anybody would consider.
Yes. What this meant is that we would have to use views, and I know this isn't supposed to be a very technical, but
go for it.
You have to use views to limit the number of work items enumerated in the console to maintain performance. But if you're generating 180,000 work items a year, how many views do you think you're going to have to limit that to? If you want to get under 10,000, so that's 18 a year times 6 years. Are you doing math?
I am not.
Oh.
Keep going.
Okay. 18 a year for 6 years. That's not just for incidents. That's problems. That's changes. That's service request fulfillment. That's activities. More so if you have a lot more activities within the workflows. Beyond that, again, training. I can't stress training enough. If you know how to use the product, if you have a lot of knowledge behind the background of the product, how it works, how to do the extensions and the customizations, it's just going to make it better for your end users. They're going to get a better experience. They're going to like you more. They're going to want to partner with your IT department instead of just making IT a necessary evil.
From an ops manager standpoint, they had 150 agents that they wanted to deploy. The manufacturing group was a lot smaller. There were only 60 agents. They had 75 network devices, and they wanted default data retention settings. So ops manager was fairly generic with, you know, and not overly huge, but you know, they had a lot of stuff they wanted to put in place. The infrastructure in place there is all Server 2012, databases on SQL 2012, and then a single management group, a single management server, and a single data warehouse server. Note, it's not two. Normally, for fault tolerance, you'd put in a second management server. Their situation was they got a mirror data center. You know, if the sucker goes down, fail over. You know, go from there. So that was their mindset behind why they wanted to do just a single management server in that instance. And then the service management stuff, Phil, you want to address that last point?
So again, through the configuration item and alert connectors, we're able to generate work items within Service Manager for management of any of the critical alerts that may occur within the environment. Do you want to talk about the key to that? I think that's on a different slide.
Let's wait for it.
Okay.
Orchestrator. Again, this is near term, not there, but this is what we expect to see.
So what we're planning to do is we're going to install the runbook server onto the Ops Manager management server, and we're going to put the database onto the Ops Manager database server. The initial runbooks that they want to put together are provisioning of servers by type. In the event that we have to replace some old servers, they're wanting to upgrade all of the virtual machines on the other solution to 2012. So we'll need to be able to provision those servers quickly without having to use resource time or available time from their engineers to hand build those boxes. Automating on-demand virtualizations of desktops. They want to start piloting the VDI solution as well, so we need to get that taken care of. The automation of various change management and service management triggers. So if an activity needs to be taken care of that we can automate, within that runbook, we can automate that, whether it's coming from an ops manager response, alert, warning, some kind of informational message that we're parsing for, if it's an event within an event manager log, whatever the case may be, and then to automate some additional break-fix resolutions.
Successes and challenges with this guy. We mentioned there was a very fast config manager deployment. As a matter of fact, it was from beginning of design until completion of the migration was 3 weeks. This is a large organization, 55 schools, 11,000 clients, 3 weeks from beginning of design to completion of migration. Extremely fast migration. Config Manager gave them the ability to do self-service app deployment for the first time. They'd never been able to do self-service before. It did give them that. Next 3 years, I believe.
So user device affinity within Configuration Manager 2012 gave us the ability to tie these desktops, laptops to specific users. That's huge in Service Manager. So now when we bring up an incident or somebody calls in, all we have to do is type in the affected username and the related configuration item, their desktop or laptop, whichever the case may be, populates. We did review well-designed current processes. We refocused upon ITIL methodologies. We also greatly, vastly improved reporting and granularity of that reporting with, over the previous service management solution. Challenges. Data retention settings. Well outside best practice recommendations that we received from Microsoft when we were validating. Equating differences between old and new solutions, specifically around Service Manager. Other products, if you've used Heat, if you've used Remedy, there's a number of them out there. We have queues. In Service Manager, it's a view. They're essentially the same thing. It depends on which solution you've been in. That was a big piece. Obsessive compulsive about things you can't change, like wording within the console.
They got OCD about wanting to change the wording of a dialogue in the console. I'm sorry. We can't do anything about that.
It's a wizard.
But they wouldn't drop it. It was kind of weird, actually.
It's a wizard. They went on and on about it. It can cause project delays. Difficulty in changing old broken processes. Yeah, that's, again, being married to an old process. It may not be a good process. They don't want to review it. It wasn't broken. Why am I fixing it? So it's changing the mind of the people that you're working with. I think the last two were yours.
So one of the aspects they had, the Hyper-V and VMM projects were already underway, and there were some delays in those that caused a delay in the rest of the project. So, you know, just scheduling of stuff, you know, it was a challenge that came in that, you know, we were ready to kick off the Config Manager thing. They were ready to kick off the Config Manager thing, wanted to get it done because they were really, really gung-ho on getting it done fast. But it's all going to be on our VMs that are in Hyper-V and VMM, and they're not ready, so we can't move forward. So that was one aspect. Another major challenge was people-related, not technical. Project managers can be helpful, or project managers can be a roadblock. And this one was one where their project manager was causing delays in the project, not really keeping the project on task. So that was definitely a challenge that had to be addressed.
My favorite reference to that is the helicopter has to land.
Yes.
You can't hover constantly. You have to allow for the work to be completed.
Yep. So a quick summary, and then we'll get into lessons learned from both projects. So summary of this one is, because they had a very, very mature environment that enabled the project to go very, very fast, as opposed to the other environment where it was not very mature, you had to create the process before you could actually put it in place. This one, because they had a lot of very mature processes already, it let them move forward very, very quickly. Another summary is the being willing to change what needs to change. They knew that they weren't perfect. They knew that they needed to have some changes. And there was willingness to make the changes necessary. There was some hesitation about some things, but overall, they realized that things weren't perfect, and they were willing to do so. The other, they had cash. They had lots of cash.
Again, what's the property tax
file.
Like?
What's that?
Again, what's property taxes like?
Yeah, I don't know what their property taxes are like, but this education group has some significant money that they're able to throw at the hardware to make any hardware issues a non-issue. And their value realization was significantly higher than in the manufacturing example. They saw real value out of this project very quickly, partially because it went so blasted fast. It wasn't this thing of, okay, we got this project that's dragging on for a few months and we hope we're going to get some value out of it at some point. No, they saw a lot of near-term value very, very quickly as a result of the project. The other summary is, you know, coming back to the whole data retention thing of wanting them to go from the default and recommended 90 days to 6 years, there's a reason the best practices are called best practices. And if you're going to do something that's against best practice, either make sure that it will work or have a dang good reason for going against it. You know, don't just buck the system because you can. There is a reason that best practices have come around. There's a reason that recommendations are being made. You could run into some very dramatic issues if you do try to buck that trend. So from a realized value, and this is for both clients, so we're getting into more of a, okay, let's wrap this up, no longer talking about just one or the other. Let's wrap this up in the next several slides around kind of what value did the different companies see out of this thing. From a tangible standpoint, there was savings on operational costs from licensing, from time, from potential labor costs. So either there were fewer full-time employees or there was realignment. And we saw different ones in each of these clients. You know, one of them, in particular, the young lady that had, you know, 3,000 tickets a month coming in through an Outlook inbox, tears in the parking lot, she got help. They realized, really, you know, what are we doing to this poor lady? You know, we need to give her some help. So they added headcount there. They realigned in other ways. There were some folks that were that left the team for various reasons, but you know there was more headcount added by and large. It was not just a reduction in force, but it was some realignment there. The common user interface between the various products was huge because it let folks who really hadn't seen the products before, hadn't really used the products before, let them figure it out and work with it a lot better, help them to move forward with that. I know that sounds like a architecture point. And maybe it is, but it's true. You know, even if it sounds like a sales point, it's a true statement. That common interface does help when you're getting into a new product. Like, okay, I think I can figure out, oh, yeah, that's where it is. You know, I think I know where it is. I can actually figure it out a little easier. The documentation of internal processes, that was one very tangible thing that companies saw was, you know, I don't have my processes documented, in particular on our manufacturing side. They had no processes documented. That process of documenting the process, while it was painful for them to go through, it was necessary pain. It was pain that helped them long term, and it helped them really short term, but also long term, of being able to move forward, know what the processes are, and to move forward with that.
As well as bring people up to speed quickly when new staff comes on board.
Exactly.
Understanding how to proceed with internal IT methodologies, having had nothing documented previously as our first example, where do we go from here? With the base understanding, they are able to move forward. They're able to mature their environment. The implementation of ITIL and MOF frameworks, this will help them build new processes better and faster and know when they might need to go back and review those. The ability to trend issues and pain points, to know where technology investments need to happen, where people investments need to happen, and identify those quickly. Intangible benefits, management staff can now see staff performance or staff need within their environment. They know how to target headcount and how to realign their staffs. The increase in services scorecard, again, that partnership with the business that is critical to our success as an IT organization. Creation and infrastructure reliability. How long have the machines been up? Who saw the article about the NetWare machine that was up for, what was that, 14?
16 years.
16 years? Holy smokes. I couldn't imagine.
Now, you had one example of that where you were troubleshooting an issue with them, and the domain controller.
Yes. Domain controller lost its volumes. Nobody could log in. It was the PDC emulator.
Now, they did not know that it lost its volumes. They just knew they weren't able to get a remote desktop session to the domain controller. That's what they're trying to do.
And I kept asking, have you tried to log in locally at the terminal? Have you tried to log in? As soon as somebody pressed Control-Alt, hadn't even hit delete yet, it went BSOD. When they brought it back up, they found out that the LUN had gone down.
And they had no idea how long that server had been down. Domain controller, your PDC emulator, had been down God only knows how long. They had no idea. So it was that kind of thing that turned things around from a, you know, that could be tangible or intangible. I mean, that's a, you know, I at least know that it's broken. I could find it out, and it brought a lot of stability to their environment. So their infrastructure was a lot more reliable as a result. So back to our lessons learned. You know, let's go back to our foundational principle. You know, yeah, plan. Design this thing. Look at your business needs, your business requirements, and from that, map out your roadmap to find out what your technical requirements are. Don't just assume I'm going to put in these set servers, this set process, this is what my design is going to look like until you've mapped out your process, until you've mapped out your design, until you've mapped out your business needs. Come up with your technical stuff from your business stuff. You've got to start with business stuff first. If you don't, you are shooting yourself in the foot.
Five P's.
Five P's are?
Proper prior planning prevents poor performance. There's actually six in my marketing class, but...
From our lessons learned, the order of installation varies, but Phil has some thoughts on kind of the best method from our experience.
So if you're looking at what the solution, the products and the components within System Center are there to cover for us, there's definitely a logical solution for an internal IT department. So we need to manage endpoints. We need to manage desktops, laptops, virtual machines, devices. That's Config Manager, right? So what if we need to monitor infrastructure? That's Ops Manager. Okay, so now that we've got those two, what do we do about tracking all of that, measuring all of that? How well are we doing? Where do we go from here? That's Service Manager. Okay, so now we've got all this labor-heavy things that we can do. How do we reduce the labor-heavy and help ourselves out so that we can, you know, spend time at home on the weekends and go home at 5 o'clock? That's Orchestrator. So there's definitely a logical progression to these things. And when we come in to talk to the stakeholders on these types of projects, we need to discuss that with them. Based on your needs and based on a logical implementation of these components within System Center, let's come up with an order. Order of implementation will definitely help you go forward. Are your processes documented? If you have nothing documented, it's like herding cats. Stakeholders are unavailable. They don't want to be available. They don't want to get involved in those political discussions. It's not my job. Some of the other excuses that I've heard about people not wanting to get involved in designing those processes.
Speaking of process, a lot of folks think they're married to the process. Realistically, you're just dating, and it might be an abusive relationship that you need to get out of. If your process is bad, junk the process. You're not married to it. You'll figure out what the right process is and go from there. And you know, one of the things that we saw, we see it at every client, the most difficult thing to change, culture and politics. If you got cultural issues, you got politics in your environment, that's the single hardest thing to change. Can it be done? Absolutely it can. Is it easy? Not typically. So that's a lesson learned. Not a new one, obviously, but you know, culture and politics, very, very tough to change. Another lesson learned, the inspiration for the best thing to do could come at any moment in time. So grab the nearest whiteboard and then process it out, get the flow down on the whiteboard, and then take a picture of it. You know, don't put up there, please don't erase. You got phones. I see folks taking pictures of slides right now. You got your phone. Take it out and take a screenshot. You know, snap a picture of the thing, and then you've got a record of what your whiteboard session was. And then knowing how to identify a good process to keep and the bad process to get rid of. Again, if you automate a bad process, all you're doing is doing the bad junk faster. You know, and doing bad junk faster is just it's not beneficial to you. And then you know, our last one that Phil and I kind of tossed around is a lazy admin is a good admin if he's automating what he can, if he's automating the right stuff. It's okay to be lazy. You know, do you want to be known as the guy that works 10, 12 hours a day every day and is just working himself to death? No. You want to be known as the guy who got the job done, whether that took 10 hours or 10 minutes. Again, anything times 1,000 is big. Automate it. Standardize it. Get it done.
Be the Maytag repairman.
Yeah. Third, ensure that meetings are necessary. If the meeting's not necessary, figure out how to get out of it. Figure out what we need to accomplish. If nothing else, make it a standing meeting. Standing meetings last a lot shorter than sit-down meetings because your knees give out. And if you have a PM who is overly ambitious about what they want to accomplish, fine, schedule it at a stand-up table. And then I promise you the meeting will last a lot shorter and you'll be able to get back to your work. Or figure out a way to work with the PM to make sure that the process gets done. And when you're in a process discussion, it's easy when you're in a process discussion, okay, we're mapping out, okay, this is the best way to do this, this is how we want to go from here to there, we've got the whole process mapped out. Hey, what about this thing over here? Let's kind of dig into that. No, don't dig into that. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Stay on track, stay on focus. Let's make sure we get our process documented and don't move on to the junk that we don't need to mess with. And then go ahead and talk about the last one there, Phil.
So if you're using the CI connector and the alert connector in Ops Manager in generating incidents and work items, you probably want to tune the alerts in Ops Manager first. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot of spam filters being created. And nobody will know about anything. Your breach SLAs, your customers are going to be upset with you, things like that.
I got a couple of people at my companies over the last few years that they were known for emailing a lot of extraneous junk, and I had spam filters put in place. You know, if it comes in from this company with this in the subject line, automatically delete. I never saw them again. You don't want that to happen with your service manager, ops manager alerts. So get it tuned first. You know, make sure you don't kill them on that. So other resources, tomorrow night we have a Birds of a Feather on this topic. So if you want to dig in more on this topic, our Birds of a Feather is tomorrow night.
If you have experiences deploying all of System Center in a single environment, please come. We want to talk about it.
Yep, absolutely. And then I have two more sessions this week. Thursday morning, it's a dig into Config Manager about why you would do things one way over another. And then Friday, last session of the event, I am talking about hierarchy simplification with Config Manager 2012. And I will also put in a shameless plug for my blog up there at verbalprocessor.com. And so evals, if you enjoyed what you heard today, you had a fun time at this session, by all means, please fill out an eval. If you did not, by all means, stay away from the eval station. And so if you got any questions, we got a few minutes here. You know, come to a mic and let's answer questions at this point. Or holler it out. We'll try to repeat them. Thank you. Yeah, question. Okay, the question is, who brought us into a company to make the changes like this?
So typically it's your senior engineers and IT leadership, so managers up, sort of folks, technical leads within the organizations. That's pretty much it. I know, what do you guys typically see when calls come in from...
It's a combination of both the upper technical leadership along with the management. we have a lot of relationships with our customers. Actually, right down here are some of our other coworkers here, a couple on the sales side, a couple of delivery guys. On the sales side, we have good relationships with our customers. We'll come in and say, okay, what pain points are you having? And that conversation typically happens at more of a manager level. Typically kind of starts there, but also a lot of us, if we've been in at clients before, from a delivery standpoint, we have good relationships with the technical staff, and we know what pains they're experiencing, and so we can kind of help start that process of, okay, I know they're having issues with this, I'm pretty sure this can help them, and so we will kind of engage that process. But it typically starts with kind of upper IT staff or management in the organization.
You got to give them a taste.
Yes. So what I will typically do is, if someone wants to know, you know, kind of what does it look like, I got a demo environment on my laptop. In my two sessions on Thursday and Friday, I'll be pulling up my demo environment on my laptop.
Put together a lab POC.
Yeah.
And start scheduling meetings around it to demonstrate what the features
are.
That'll start feeding the fire.
Yep. Question.
And that first company, the manufacturing company, how did they handle
true?
On the first company? Yeah. How did they handle true-ups before you guys came in?
How do they what?
Handle true-ups, licensing?
Licensing true-ups.
For software, for like Microsoft licensing, things like that. So there's
software
reports within Configuration Manager from the inventory agents.
Okay, so the question is, how do they handle licensing true-ups prior to System Center?
Huh.
I have no idea.
Abacus, a tablet, and an ink pen. There were a lot of AD scripts and a lot of headcount. How many FTEs do we have? How many computers do we have? How many are shared PCs? We figured they were probably about 30 to 40% incorrect.
Yeah.
Probably overpaying.
It was ugly. Yeah, they're probably overpaying on a lot of things just because, like, you know, I think we have this, but I can't verify. So, you know, we overpaid just to make sure we're not illegal. So.
We see that a lot.
Yeah.
Generally, people are overpaying by at least 20%.
Yep. That's something we definitely see.
That's the danger of having an unknown environment. If you have no idea what you've got out there, all you can do is guess. And to cover the guess, you add more money to it.
Yep.
And then wonder why you can't get ahead with technology and implementation of new technologies, because you don't have the money because you're overpaying for something else.
Yep. Anybody else? If you're shy about talking out loud, feel free to come up afterwards. So, thank you very much. Appreciate it, guys.